The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
As the week winds down, it is the 9th of June, 2023. Welcome. What is going on all around us are the processes of impeachment with regard to Paxton, the process of an indictment with regard to Trump. Are they all just poisoned by politics? The arrest of Paxton associate Nate Paul was so weird. Channel 8 did a whole Matt Howerton story about it. First thing, I'll play that for you first. Then Trump himself weighing in on his indictment. You weighing in on our phone lines at 866-660-5759. Let us wrap up the week with one final reminder, as if we need to be reminded. It's Friday.
Ah, I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good. I would not. So good. I got a year. Wow!
Ooh, rocket.
Donnie Barnes on the vocal, Jeff Carlisi on the guitar, but also on the guitar, Ronnie's little brother, Donnie Van Zant, who on Sunday will turn 71, a fixture in 38 Special.
Cruising down the motorway.
These guys are underappreciated. I mean, you got Rocket Into the Night. You got Hold On Loosely. You got If I'd Been the One. You got Fantasy Girl. Wild-Eyed Southern Boys. Hello. Out of Jacksonville, too. Lots of action in Jacksonville. Oh, let's let him get to the chorus. All together now, kids. Come on. Head bobbing is allowed unless it distracts from your driving. Alrighty, we are rocking into the 9 o'clock hour. It is our final hour of the week. Let's see what we will make of it. Okay, 866-660-5759. Let's do a minute or so of this and then right to the phones, 866-660-5759. I thought during the 8 o'clock hour, I'd get to what Mike offered up, if you want to call it that. And I get it, and bless his heart. The bottom line is this. Should every other Republican running against Trump, should they sort of put aside the rivalry insofar as making clear their unanimous revulsion at the persecution of Trump? Absolutely. What Mike ladled out this morning is that everyone else running should just end their campaigns and just hand it to him. I did not board that train, even though I understand that train. It's like, I'll tell you what, because listen, I'm the guy who said at the beginning of today's show that he will absolutely enjoy a bump in fundraising, a bump in the polls from people who may be not ambivalent about him, but folks who are kind of thinking about Trump or maybe DeSantis or maybe some of the other candidates, hopeful about the interested in Vivek, hopeful for Larry Elder and all that good stuff, the real conservatives. But now for this moment, it's like, oh no, we ain't gonna let this happen. And it will result in an absolute boost in fundraising and poll numbers for Trump. If enough people are sufficiently exercised, he'll be the nominee anyway. Now, then, of course, the musical question arises, does this help him in the primaries? Short term, it does. Long term, I don't know. Does it help or hurt in a general election? It probably hurts because some folks in the mushy middle who aren't as ideologically wired, who aren't as passionate about the objective wrong of this indictment, they might not be drawn to him as many others might be. Others may grow weary of the fatigue and just not want it. But I'll tell you, if the same engine whereby this skullduggery leads to Trump getting the nomination in at our convention in Milwaukee next year, will, if all those people show up and bring some help, if the admittedly disappointed DeSantis people and everybody else people can pull their heads out and realize we got to prevent four more years of Biden or whoever else the Democrat Party coughs up, then maybe that same passion can get him elected too. Truly, truly anything is possible at this point. Listen, having yammered about that, let me do calls first, and then we'll get to some of the other TV journalism I'll share a bit with you. And 866-660-5759 is where you share things with us. In Fort Worth, Linda, welcome. Happy Friday. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, thank super. You. Thanks. My pleasure.
I had a comment just about Obama, why he's backing things that Biden does or what he's doing manipulating in the background, if that's so.
Right.
He's a globalist, and so he wants to keep all his stuff and his rich houses when the great, glorious, globalist world comes about. He wants to be in with the in crowd.
Sure. There is no doubt that Obama and every other dyed-in-the-wool Democrat has a vested interest in beating down Trump or DeSantis or any Republican and having any Democrat, even Biden, win in 24. I guess you heard about a better part of an hour ago, lady called up and said her suspicion is that all this that's going on is from the puppet master, that Obama has marionette strings attached to all of this, and from his compound in Martha's Vineyard, you know, he's coming out of brunches and champagne toasts in order to spin the levers of power.
And Obama himself is riddled with puppet master strings.
I'll ask the same question because I'm completely skeptical about that. I mean, if I were to learn tomorrow that he is, it wouldn't surprise me. But what exactly is in it for him? I mean, there are people around. I know that Biden is so infirm, somebody's running the show, but he's surrounded by enough younger and sinister people that this scenario doesn't need Obama as the Wizard of Oz for it to be playing out.
He's not, but there are people in global higher up ranks that he wants to stay in good graces with.
No doubt. Oh, and I'm not suggesting that he's doing nothing. Obama remains a powerful force. He is the most popular Democrat in America for years now, and probably moving forward will continue to be. So that's not nothing. But if in his free time there are things he can do. I'll tell you what'll be interesting is the degree to which he hits the campaign trail. And it's funny because I don't know if he wants to hit the campaign trail for Biden, but maybe I'll come halfway toward a half a tinfoil hat theory. And that is that Obama is very interested in convincing as many people as possible to persuade Joe Biden to get out so that a Gavin Newsom or someone can be the Democrat standard bearer. Let's let the game come to us. Linda, thank you. Appreciate you very much. 866-660-5759. All right. So as we take a look at the political persecution of Trump through indictment form, how about the political persecution of Ken Paxton through impeachment form? And little cherry on top as we finish up the week, the Paxton associate, Austin real estate developer Nate Paul, the favors for whom many have chosen to criminalize in the form of, first of all, this is what took the shape of the so-called whistleblowers. FBI took a look at this. Nothing. the clouds of scandal and controversy that have been shadowing Paxton over his head for years have produced nothing. So now we have the impeachment, where it's a political process. All you got to do is convince politicians to vote to get rid of a guy or vote to impeach a guy. Dade Phelan convinced 59 other guys to do so. Now it goes to the Senate, where there are 19 Republicans and 12 Democrats. And in the midst of all this, because it's funny, it's going to be a while before we get to this trial. It will be late summer. And so you got to fill the news with something, because it is funny, because yesterday, at the very beginning of the show, go back and listen to the podcast of today's 7 o'clock hour. I shared a letter from Paxton's attorneys. Let me give you a little bit of it. Chris Hilton, chief among them. And I know that Tony Busby, Dan Cogdale are going to be sort of running that show. But Chris Hilton, the wonderfully talented guy who works in the attorney general's office, wrote this cease and desist letter to Dade Phelan, to the top members of the investigating committee, Andy Murr and Ann Johnson, and to the high dollar celebrity attorneys who have been secured to put some gloss on this, Rusty Hardin and Dick DeGaren. It is a cease and desist letter suggesting improper contact with potential witnesses, that these folks, that the articles of impeachment, like, were not enough. And their assertion is that now that it's the Senate's job to figure out rules for the impeachment, you guys are done and you can't be poking around, sticking your big fat noses into the office of the attorney general, just trying to bolster what is a weak and fraudulent case. And the letter pulls new punches, finishing up, even as you hide behind these cowardly tactics, you're repeatedly claiming to the public that you believe in a transparent process that affords the attorney general an opportunity to defend himself. Prove it. So amid all of this, with the Paxton forces on, they are defensive, but they're on the offensive like this week. So, gee, magically, Paxton associate Nate Paul gets arrested yesterday. Surely that's just coincidental. Matt Howerton last night, Channel 8.
This arrest just made things a whole lot more interesting for the Paxton saga. Federal authorities haven't said what they're charging Nate Paul with or if it's even related to Paxton. But Paul is the founder of one of the largest real estate owners in the U.S. He's donated to Paxton's political campaigns in the past, and his offices were the subject of a federal search back in 2019. In 2020.
Yeah. Anything come of that? Federal search in 2019, 4 years ago. Anything come of that? Anything? Hello? McFly? Anything?
Paxton's former deputies alleged their boss was using his role as attorney general to benefit Paul in legal disputes. Staffers said Paxton ordered them to get in the middle of some of those disputes involving Paul's properties, alleging they worked to keep them from reaching foreclosure. Those allegations got the FBI involved, and it even fueled an investigation by the State House months ago.
The FBI did get involved. Anything come from that? Anything? That was more of a Bueller than a McFly, right? Bueller. Anything? Nope.
Led to Paxton's impeachment recently. At the time of Paxton's alleged actions, authorities raided Paul's business and residence. Investigators reported this publicly weeks ago, saying when Paul filed an open records request seeking documents related to the criminal investigation against him, Paxton repeatedly tried to get the records released to his friend.
So is it fair to say the OAG's office was effectively hijacked for an investigation by Nate Paul through the Attorney General Kim Paxton?
This was Nate Paul wanting to know what the investigators were looking into him about.
That would be my opinion.
That would be my opinion. That's this entire impeachment case. It's our opinion. It's our opinion that this is crooked.
General Paxton warned many times that the pursuit of this action could lead to dangerous consequences.
Could and dangerous. And what do those words mean?
And the answer that I intended to provide was yes, that is in fact the case.
And the million-dollar question right now is, Paul's arrest related to any of these allegations involving Paxton? And if so, what does this mean for Paxton now? He's currently suspended and is awaiting trial in the Senate, which needs to happen by August 28th.
Here we are. Never a dull moment. 9:23. Some stuff to do this weekend. Gonna hang out with some friends, some family. Catch a little NBA finals. See if the Heat can do something against the Nuggets. But interesting. And I love baseball, and you know, baseball's cool. I don't know if I've ever caught a whole lot of mid-season full game baseball, but over the weekend, I'm probably going to watch the better part of three entire games, because the two best teams in baseball are playing. And here's the crazy part. One of them is the Rangers. What? Yep. The Tampa Bay Rays are, I guess, the best team in baseball. They are 46-19. They started out winning 13 in a row. They were chasing a record and almost got there. The Rangers are 40-21. And since the 1st of May, really, the Rangers' record is better. The flipping Rangers. I mean, Bruce Bochy and this team and this and all of it is without Jacob DeGrom. It's like, wow, we're getting Jacob DeGrom from the Mets. Whoa, this is going to be great. Of course, he comes in, he's injured immediately. 15-day disabled list. Oh, then you learn that it's the 60-day disabled list. Then you realize it might be the forever disabled list because he's having Tommy John surgery. Probably his career is over. It just probably is over. And we're still 40-21. Absolutely incredible. Rangers are at Tampa Bay. It starts tonight. Start with Andrew Heaney on the mound against Tyler Glasnow. And it goes to two afternoon games, Saturday and Sunday, and who knows what might happen there. Go, you mighty Rangers. One of the best teams in baseball in June. Unfamiliar territory, but pretty sweet. Okay, let me hit the newsroom with Gordon Griffin. Come back, take some more of your calls. I got stuff I haven't even gotten to yet. Action-packed home stretch half hour, I promise. 866-660-5759, 930. Here's Gordon. The 70s kids will recognize Deep Purple and Highway Star from Machine Head. The album gives you Smoke on the Water. But I've dropped into the middle of this record for one reason. On the keyboards. On what would have been his 82nd birthday. Mr. John Lord. Great driving record. 866-660-5759. Nobody gonna get my car. Gonna chase it to the ground. Alrighty. All right, I got stuff to do, but people have things they want to bring us, so let's do that. 866-660-5759. Hey, Terry, happy Friday. How are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm doing great.
Hey.
I got a couple of things I want to talk about, and the whole Paxton indictment is just a bunch of crap, and it's just like what they're doing to Trump. Everybody needs to call their senators, the Texas senators, and tell them to shut this whole thing down. It's up to them, and they need to hear from us. It really does make a difference.
It's interesting, and we'll get to your second thing, whatever that is, in a second, because this is a political process. They are a jury in the sense that they will determine Attorney General Paxton's fate. But, I mean, a jury is supposed to completely ignore personal politics. They're supposed to come in, just look at the evidence. I would think that sort of in a vacuum, in a perfect world, a senator would kind of do the same and say, listen, however, I mean, whatever my voters may want, I got to kind of look with my own eyes, listen with my own ears, process it with my own brain, and go wherever that leads me to go. And yet, it's not in a vacuum. These 31 people who are going to determine Ken Paxton's fate, and 12 of them are Democrats, they'll vote to eject him anyway. But of the 19 right. Republicans, they have – one wonders what the effect is of a barrage, a wave of calls that say,
really?
Look, if you kick him out, you may be next. And
yes.
It's which every voter is totally entitled to do.
Absolutely. And we've talked to them and they tell us, yes, the phone calls really do make a big difference. So we need to do that right now.
Yep.
Start now.
What's the next thing?
And The other thing is, I guess you probably saw in Glendale, California, where a school board meeting erupted into violence and protests against the LGBTQ indoctrination.
Antifa thugs took violent action against parents who are trying to prevent the infusion of LGBTQ woke product into the curriculum. Yep.
Exactly. Well, right down here in little old Red Oak, Texas, where I live, there's a runoff for school board, place five, with my good friend, wonderful Christian conservative lady, Penny Story, and the Red Oak School District and the teachers and the school board, all of them have ganged up against her. We tried to get a couple more conservatives elected. They did pretty good, but they didn't quite make it. And this woman is late 70s. I don't know, but she's a little fireball, and she needs our help. I mean, these people have ganged up on her. They have like a little meter thing in the classrooms, and if your parents go out and vote against her, they get a little mark. You know, they've put out literature with lies on it, and if we lose her, we have no conservatives, and they're just doing whatever TABC says, TASB, rather, yeah. And she needs help.
Throw us her name again, please.
Penny Story. Wonderful Christian lady. Staunch conservative. She's probably more conservative than me and you.
we'll see about that. No, but listen, good for her.
Really,
and this is in the Red Oak ISD just south of Dallas?
Yes.
Very cool.
Ellis County.
That is awesome.
She is the incumbent.
Well, I'll take that all day for things tomorrow. And thank you very, very much, because tomorrow is runoff day. And I will see Terry's Red Oak ISD. Well, it's not really raising her, but I will add a little love for all of you out in Collin County. I've been sprinkling this around all month because these went to a runoff. And what you have in Collin County, among so many wonderful things, is the Collin College Network. And it's funny. It used to be Collin County Community. Was it like CCC? And it's funny because it reminded me of the Soviet Union, for which the Cyrillic alphabet was CCCP, like on Yuri Gagarin's helmet and stuff like that. Anyway, now it's just Collin College. Maybe that's why they did that. Fewer syllables and less of a Soviet-looking abbreviation. But it's just a wonderful system. And it's higher education. And as you know, higher education is just rotting on the vine because of woke nonsense, because of radical leftism. And there's somebody on that Collin College board that you good Collin College, Collin County people, because it's you vote for the board up there, and the runoff is tomorrow. Early voting's done, and I badgered you about this during early voting. So now, tomorrow, I know you got stuff to do. I know you got to go get plants at Lowe's. I know you got to go, you know, run errands and stuff like that. Do all of those things. Get to the polls and vote for Kathy Alexander and Jay Saad, S-A-A-D. These are the kind of people. Jay is already on the board. Kathy is working to unseat a woman named Stacey Donald, a radical pro-abort and a total acolyte of critical race theory, trans radicalism. She is on the board, and that needs to be fixed. Is this Collin County or is it Dallas County? Is it Collin County or is it Harris County? Is it Collin County or is it Travis County? Will you good people of Collin County fight to keep some vestige of sanity in an educational stalwart in your community, that magnificent Collin College system? Stacey Donald must be removed from that board, replaced by Kathy Alexander. And while you're in there, help Jay Saad, S-A-A-D, help Jay remain on that board. Jay Saad, Kathy Alexander, do it. I would like on Monday to say that this worked. Okay, not magically because of me, but because of you. All right. Bree Jackson, NBC, this morning. Let's tie a bow around some of this stuff, because here was some of this morning's freshest journalism on the Trump indictment.
Well, this marks the first time in U.S. history that a former president has been indicted on federal charges. And NBC News has learned that at least one of the charges is related to the Espionage Act.
which is insane. The Espionage Act in the Woodrow Wilson presidency, 1917, you know, we're all hopped up and hyped up and paranoid about the world. And listen, you know, as the old saying goes, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean there's not people out to get you. There were plenty of dangers in the world of the early 20th century. The Espionage Act makes sense as law to prevent people who are engaged in some type of horrible subterfuge, some type of horrible, well, you know, espionage designed to work against America's interest, working with spies, working with America's enemies, trying to behind the scenes to defeat America's best interest. Is there anybody with a brain stem who believes that this is what Trump sought to do with any of those documents at Mar-a-Lago? What a ridiculous, sick joke this is.
Mr. Trump, can we have a
former moment? President Trump indicted on 7 criminal charges in connection to more than 100 classified documents seized from his Florida estate. Trump claiming innocence in this video posted online.
I did nothing wrong, and we will fight this out just like we've been fighting for 7 years.
The indictment is sealed, but 2 sources briefed on the matter say charges include false statements. His legal team says there's at least 1 charge related to the Espionage Act.
I think there was a conspiracy count as well. There's not going to be an arrest. This is coming in on a summons.
A spokesperson for the special counsel declined to comment on the case. Experts say let the legal process play out.
It's not enough that you have a strong case. It is also important that the public understand that this is not selective prosecution.
it's important that the public understand this. We're going to try to make them understand it. Even though there's no reason for anybody to understand that.
That this is not somebody who's singled out. Uh-huh. That he's being treated just like anyone else.
Well, with Joe Biden, with continued boxes of stuff that, as far as I know, is still back there in the tailpipe exhaust of that Corvette, like Hillary Clinton was so equally scrutinized for her various mishandlings of far more sensitive documents. Oh, yeah. There's nothing to see here. Nothing special about this. Good grief.
And there are legions of cases of people who did far less who are in jail because of this kind of conduct.
Trump allies are weighing in. On Twitter, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy called the indictment a dark day for the United States of America. GOP presidential challengers are also defending the frontrunner.
What we've seen over the last several years is the weaponization of the Department of Justice against the former president.
Trump insists the charges are politically motivated.
They're trying to destroy a reputation so they can win an election.
This marks the second time the former president has been indicted since he left office.
And here might come the Georgia case. And the Georgia case is the weakest of all 3 of them. And everybody's hanging their hats on the Georgia case. The Georgia case is about find me 11,000 votes when he was, which was not in any way a clarion call to concoct 11,000 false votes, but rather in an election where all manner of votes were being improperly counted, insufficiently counted. There were votes that were being counted that were not legally or should not have been legally counted because in the fog of COVID, there were various states that were haphazardly and unconstitutionally changing election procedure on the fly. And so Trump's call was to say, look, there may well be uncounted legal votes out there. Find them for me. Find them for me. The Georgia case is ridiculous. This case is ridiculous. The Alvin Bragg case is ridiculous. And as we addressed earlier in the show, short term, this will be a boost to Trump's fortunes. I mean, electoral fortunes and maybe actual literal fortunes, not personal, but in the campaign chest, because his fundraising will spike. His poll numbers will boost. I recall the reaction of some. Like Jason Whitlock, on Tucker Carlson, who said, I've never voted in my life. I'm about 50-50 on Trump. I like a lot of what he does, other stuff not so much. But tonight he said, I am hardcore MAGA. And this was a few weeks ago on the threadbare Alvin Bragg indictment. This is the reaction that some people are going to have. How many? I don't know. We'll find out. And so I guess the magical, you know, X factor question is, how long will this phenomenon last of people rallying behind Trump because he is being so persecuted, so singled out, so wronged? Is that a statement people are willing to make in June and July and August and September, for all we know? Or as this year winds down, once we get to, you know, fall, holidays, and then when real people start actually voting in the early primaries, then it's time to sort of morph your thoughts about how terrible this is, what they're doing to Trump. Then the question becomes a little different. Then it becomes, hey, who can beat Biden? And that answer may vary for some. Anyway, one thing's for sure. We'll be doing talk shows through the whole process, for which I am grateful. Grateful for today. Grateful for this week. Some final words before I hand you over to Brother Mike Gallagher. Next. So it will be Judy Garland's birthday tomorrow, born 101 years ago. And I knew I was going to finish up with some Judy Garland, but it would be kind of like me to go dig for some deep cut or something from some club in 1964. But doggone it, this is simply one of the signature performances. What is she, 16, recording this for Wizard of Oz in 1939? When they're making it in 38. It's like 5 minutes into the film. Dorothy. Judy Garland is Dorothy Gale. She's singing the song. She can't get Aunt Em, Uncle Henry, and the farmhands to listen to her story of something that she and the stupid dog and Miss Gulch got into some dust up. And Auntie Em says, go find yourself a place where you won't get into any trouble. She walks off by herself and tells the dog, we need to go somewhere where there isn't any trouble. Is there such a place, Toto? There must be. It's not a place you can get to by a boat or a train. It's far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain. And then she sings this. Not bad. Happy birthday tomorrow to Judy Garland. Thank you, Mr. Jimmy, for filling in for Rhonda, who's back on Monday. Thank you, Mr. Matt, for the technical guru skills. Gordon, for news excellence. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Have a fantastic and blessed weekend. I'm Mark Davis. See you Monday.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.